This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Alex Cox and Merlin Mann. This week's challenge, say thank you.
If you ever call me Papa again, the show is over.
You don't like it?
I like it, Mommy.
I call you that?
Hi, Mommy. Don't make me send you a clown. I will send you a clown.
Ah, no! I didn't realize how much I hated clowns until we started doing this show in 2016. I hate them. I hate them so much.
Well, I mean, there's the generalized situational clown dislike. I once learned that the name for this is coulrophobia, a fear of clowns. which, you know, I mean, it's one of those things like saying, I'm celiac. First of all, stop saying you are something. I'm ADD. No, you're not ADD. I'm ADD. I'm so OCD.
Hey, I have a paper that says it now. I have an ADHD paper. That's what I use my Kratom for. I'm sorry.
do you show that to, like, you know, law enforcement officials or something?
Oh, gosh.
You have to be nice to me. I'm ADD.
I think that I have to show it on TikTok, and that's what will
get off the internet. Give me... God, you've got to get off the internet. For somebody who doesn't like the internet, all you talk about is the internet.
What? No. What? Hold on.
You know what? You're ADD. So, in fairness.
That's how I get away with being a cunt. I'm bipolar, so it's fine. I have not spent a lot of time on the internet. In fact, I missed the whole...
Are we going to talk about clowns or are we going to talk about the internet?
Did you notice how I was trying not to talk about the
Now, here's the thing. What I'm trying to say to you, Alexandra, is it's one thing to have a generalized ha-ha, lol, ruffle... clowns, creepy.
Lamau.
My ass has literally been laughed off. I'm so assless. Because of all my laughing that I do, I keep rolling on the floor.
That would be...
Roful. But I agree with you. My specific... God, I want to get the right word for this. It's not that I hate clowns. It's that I'm repulsed by clowns.
That's I guess in general I hate repulsion, so that I well
you ever seen the
do
movie?
I literally wait is that a movie
is yeah it's that like, creepy it's Catherine Deneuve. It's really creepy. It's so creepy. It's kind of like
it's a director.
It reminds me a little bit of Safe, the wonderful movie with that lady from Boogie Nights. It's one of those, like, I'm scared in my house, what is going on kind of movies.
Ah, yes. So,
I think. What about Le Weekend? You ever seen Le Weekend?
The Weekend?
The Weekend. What's the most boring foreign film you've ever seen?
Oh, Battleship Potemkin. Listen.
Have you seen Weekend? It's people in a car. What about Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie? What did you think of that?
I fell asleep.
I know. Oh, no. I don't even know if it was boring because I was... clowns. And I sent you some clowns and they were
special needs clowns.
And that's the thing I send you. You know what I haven't sent you for a while? I've been watching Mindhunter again. And I was telling my child about Richard Speck. We were watching...
Well,
My kid walked in as I was watching the Richard Speck episode, and I said, this is a joke I always make. Anytime we see Jonathan Groff, I say, did you know he was in Hamilton? And my kid says, really? And but anyway, I love Mindhunter, and I appreciate the other guy with the flat top more every time. He's so goddamn good. Now, he's the guy who invented serial killer. That was his term. And he's also the guy who wrote the Manhunter book. It wasn't Jonathan Groff. That wasn't the king.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
And so they say, they go from serial killer to serial killer, and they say, you'll be back.
He only wanted to be known for one thing.
Just one thing. And I said, here's the thing. Richard Speck, that fellow there, see this video emerged in, the 90s. And whenever it emerged, there was a video, and Mr. Speck, he was, you know, incarcerated. And he didn't have a shirt on. And he had big old fucking titties and was smoking a doobie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And
oh, I like to send you a screenshot of that sometimes.
Show art. Oh God, it's so bad.
Oh God,
so,
no.
Oh God, it's so bad.
But the haircut is almost as bad.
Oh God, it's so bad. And we have, I think, been internet scolded before for being like, oh, it is transphobic. I'm like,
what?
No, I think it's okay to be repulsed by a serial killer who decided just, oh God, he was like the OG trans valor stealer, because he's like, I'm gonna give myself some titties so I can be diddled and not butt fucked.
Oh, bad, yeah. Queer, bad queer. What?
Yeah.
What?
No.
I mean, no. We need a sound
bad,
for
bad.
That. maybe it's just a voice going, bad. That's a bad queer tone. Now, why are you canceling Richard Speck? Is it because of the nurse killings? Is it because of the appropriated tittays?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. What could be worse? I don't know.
This is just another example of Speck cancellation.
Yeah. Rampant titty cancellation. Free Speck nipples is what I say.
You sound like you're Google free Speck nipple. Saudi Falcon. Google Saudi Falcon airplane. Anyway, here we are back in Spain. How are you?
I don't know that reference. I am doing great.
There's a bit that's a bit about a bit. What's the number one bit people say about doing improv comedy? What's the number one bit? Don't overthink it. What do people say?
Always say yes.
Always say
don't
yes
say
and.
No.
Always say yes and.
Yes, you've got yes and.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Sorry.
But then one of the canonical examples of this is not the right thing to do is you open your scene. You open a scene, you say to your partner, you do like, TJ and Dave, Dave and TJ, I never remember which is which. And you go, so here we are in Spain.
It's like you and TikTok. I try
TikTok.
To know as little about improv as possible.
I'm going to start writing down every time you bring up the internet for no reason, and that's the third one.
Listen, I'm
okay.
A victim of capitalism because my job
tends
to be the
internet.
That's
good, yeah. Right there.
We got the C word. We got the I word.
Okay. All right. But it's like, actually, it's not like file systems, because you file systems you can ding once, according to Professor Syracusa. But mm-hmm. In this instance, I'm gonna ding you. I'm gonna make you give you the bad queer noise for every one of those. I don't like clowns.
No.
I told you that was my introduction to intersectional pornography, and ever since then, I oh man, I'm soft as a my pillow.
Oh,
keep going. Anyway, the internet canceled us or something. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'd like to sincerely say I'm great, but I can't stop thinking about Madison Cawthorn. I can't.
Oh,
everybody
gosh.
Is bombarding. No, you two.
Sorry. Different noise. Yas.
Yas.
Is that better?
What is up with that? Just what's your deal, dude?
Like, oh my God!
I don't know what's wrong with him.
And like, I'm not allowed to not like him. I have to have valid policy reasons for thinking he's a piece of shit. No, because I mean, like, and again, listen,
he's the worst.
Listen. Here's the thing. I say this to all my kids. I say this to my lady friend all the time. I say, you know, my lady friend works a lot. I'm like, I hope you have. They have Microsoft Teams, but. Because, because business. But, like, I hope you have some place that you can go to say the things that can't be said anywhere else. I say it's just so. Okay. On the good Slack this morning.
Oh, like how
you
I
see the good
mocked
Slack?
Madison Cawthorn for being in a wheelchair.
Well, I'm getting there. Baby steps.
Oopsies.
Did you see the good Slack just a few minutes ago? Probably not. No, it's okay.
You love Slack. You just love talking about Slack.
It's the messaging app for teens. There. I swear to God, if you out me on this, I'm going to be so goddamn angry. I don't need your help. Please stop snitch tagging. I know how to do that. Here's the thing. Oh, shit, that's one for me. Internet. Okay. Here's the thing. I was standing in, I went to pick up my repaired computer at the Apple store. And so I went into Target to get some old man supplies. Title.
Oh boy.
Yeah, yeah. I had to get a different ankle brace and some KT tape, and you know, because I injured myself sleeping a few weeks ago.
Again?
It's the same injury. My ankle still is like ow, ow, ow. I've got like a 50% gait at this point. But I was there getting some old man supplies, and I was going to see if I could go find an iPhone mount to put on my imminent bike. And I was standing there when a podcast that we both listened to started talking about a very popular internet Twitter account of somebody who just shares lots of joy and fun and brightening your day. And both of the hosts on that show said they not only don't like that account, that it is an account that basically just yoinks other people's stuff and then creates this puffy, stupid bullshit that's total fucking catnip for normie celebrities. And they said they didn't like any of it, any part of it. And I actually in the they didn't have a mount that would work with my bike, but I went, yes! Because I just said a minute ago on the good Slack that I am so relieved when I find out that I am not the only person in the world that actively hates something that is unimpeachably popular. And no, let me just be clear here. I do not like the internet. I don't like the internet pylons where we all go, I never thought he was funny. But I'm so grateful to have channels where I can go and say the things that I can't say anywhere else, including in public on the I word. And I'm so glad that you and I have a place, a safe space to talk about Madison Cawthorn, because I'm bringing this on the internet. I'm bringing this here because I think he's a piece of shit. And I think he's gross. Master. And you know what it is? I think with all these big time sex guys, you start to get like a feel for like when somebody's like maybe not so stable. And like I said in our super secret private text channel, I think at this point he may be giving Matt Gaetz a run for his money.
Oh, absolutely.
Should we go through the litany of what a week he's having and what a month he's having?
Oh my God.
We can even skip the one so you don't get trans canceled. But we get all the other ones.
I'm trying to find the problematic.
He's been pulled over in the last week. He got pulled over again.
Yes.
He had an invalid license and had to swap seats with the passenger so the passenger could drive. Okay.
God.
I'm leaving out the cruise photo. He yet again got caught at a flight check-in with a 9mm pistol, trying to take that on a plane.
Yes, and emphasis on again. Like,
yes.
Jeez.
He's so gunny. And yeah. And then there is another one. Oh, there's just been, oh God, we keep talking about this. Like I look in the channel. But there's been several of these. And it's just like, but you're not allowed to say anything about it.
Yeah. Wait, why? What corners?
Well, because I'm either going to turn into a pussy hat, or I'm going to turn into somebody. You know, because you're not allowed to make fun of somebody for any reason, even privately. Don't make fun of people because you know that's actually, you know, when you make fun of his cruise photo, not Ted Cruz.
Oh, that's right. Oh, are people mad?
Ted Cruz photo is the one where the lady's looking around the corner.
Hold on. Are people angry that Madison Cawthorn is being mocked for wearing very unattractive ladies'
well,
lingerie?
Yes, and here we are in Spain. I don't disagree with that. I don't think it's a good idea to send a mob after people for what their apparent thing. Like, you know, don't make fun of the way people look. I'm trying. And don't shame people for like their deal. And, you know, and the thing is, I think it blew up in everybody's face because of course everybody, you know, you got to get out there and put your sign up. You know, this is extremely anti-queer rhetoric and blah, blah, blah. And the thing is, I do agree with that, but that doesn't. Okay. But this is why we have the text channel. And I think we all need to admit that we either have a secret place where we can talk to our friends or we need one. Because I'll never say that publicly. Now, two things can be true at once. John Keats, look it up. Here's the thing. I do agree. I don't think you should shame people for something that amounts to anti-queer rhetoric, especially publicly. But privately, I could go, what's up with that fucking guy?
Okay.
Because I think he might be, maybe not as much as Matt Gaetz, I think he might be a sex man.
Oh, he is 100% a sex man. It is, but that's the thing. He is not being.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, sometimes you see somebody like, oh man, you're a sex man, aren't you?
Oh, he is. He is a big, big sex. No, no. I immediately take that back. He wishes he was a big sex guy because no one.
Like a Donald Trump Jr. type situation.
Oh, absolutely. Like, he has divorced dad energy, but he's only been divorced for like 15
he's
minutes.
So
and
handsome.
He's not a dad. He is. Oh, I mean, I would never make fun of how someone looks, but it's not it's not the fact that he was wearing very unattractive lingerie and just looked like a total fucking
okay.
idiot. It's the fact that this man once again just keeps going in front of just keeps saying in public, you know what a woman is? Definition of a woman is 2 X chromosomes and no tallywhacker. And he is so proud of saying that and thinks it's so funny.
He's so fucking masculine. He's getting like Tucker Carlson levels of like,
shit.
What's the name of Kelvin's group? The Strong Men for Jesus. Like, oh my goodness.
Oh,
did you see that Tucker Carlson video? Did you see it?
Was it the ball tanning?
Oh, we're not supposed to make fun of that either.
Wait, why? Because
the one that looks like boot camp with all the guys being masculine together. Have you seen that video?
I haven't.
Oh, Alexandra, give us your fucking money.com. We will be doing a.
We are going to watch this. Oh, man.
But you know what? Now it's a different reason you can't make fun of that. Well, in addition to that being tacitly anti-queer to talk about how gay bones he is, the aesthetic. The aesthetic is extremely like Lenny Riefenstahl meets like Tom of Finland. And you don't want to mix up Tom of Finland and Tom of Maine because you want to be careful of what you put in your mouth is what I'm saying.
I mean, well,
sailors in your mouth, sailors in your mouth.
Yep. Latex is good, everybody.
It's not a navy boat. It's a gravy boat.
Gravy boat. Sometimes
can't make fun of that because that's exactly what they want. You've walked into the trap. Now the net has fallen down on you, Lib. Lowell.
I don't know. I think I've started to get a very different internet because whenever
we're tied 4-4.
Whenever I see people in a digital realm talking, if someone's like, don't do that because you're making fun of queer people. It's never anyone who is queer. It's like how most people I know who are fat activists like aren't actually fat. And it just seems super weird. I don't know. Like, it feels weird. Stop talking about trans kids. It's weird. Like,
I'm into season 5 of Veep rewatch number N. And oh my god. Well, of course, I just got to the one Max reminded me of, the when she discovers that the president is resigning and she's gonna slide in there and she's in the bathroom and Gary comes in and his nose starts bleeding,
so
and then she pulls out the magnifying glass. What is this for? It's the funniest scene, and it's not a blooper. But I just got to the one where, and of course, season 5 is my jam. That's a big Richard Splett season. He gives his email address, and it's Splett, RichardSplett2@splett.net. You know, I hate it when my dad dies, but it's going to be nice to get that handle. But anyway, great season 5, and at the end of S5E1, she's going to have our conference on race. And every person there, even the ones from HBCUs, are like, it's all white people at this race conference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
That's kind of what you're talking about. Right?
Exactly, because I still am like evolving my feeling about the term punching up, I think. But I realize that the thing I find funniest is just like ridiculousness and whatever that may mean. And I think a man supposedly dressing up in ladies' lingerie on a cruise boat while constantly preaching this just unhinged gospel of 2 X chromosomes and no tallywhacker is just ludicrous and very fucking funny to me.
Yeah. Not a lot of exposure to, something that... Yeah, but like I realize how much I've internalized this, and then I really want to talk about something else because I heard something in passing this morning about somebody on, I forget if it was a podcast or somewhere, somebody said, you know, it's important to be comfortable in your own skin. And my very first thought was, wow, you're lucky to have skin. You know, some people don't have skin. You really shouldn't say that. Really makes you think. Someone said something that anybody who's has a heartbeat and is bipedal should be able to do this. And I got raked for using the word bipedal. Because, you know, some of us are veterans. I have a lot. I'm on my listening tour right now. I'm learning a lot. Maybe we should watch some cochlear implant videos.
The cochlear implant videos?
Oh, well, that's very much the kind of thing the man I was talking about earlier would post. But if you ever need a lift, it's little kids or really anybody, adults too, but they get their cochlear implant and like a baby hearing the mom's voice for the first time. It's amazing.
It's so fucking cute.
I'm not against cute videos, and I am so gay for dogs right now. I mean, I'm crazy with the dogs right now. I say hello to every dog and everybody looks at me.
Oh, you're the kind of person that I think Matthew, while walking one of his many, many dog clients, I don't know, would hate because the people just, you know what, Merlin, hashtag respect or dog consent. I don't know.
Oh, will they just touch the dog? I never just touch a dog. I always ask.
Yeah,
I don't even really ask. I put out my fist like a dog likes and then I know whether the dog's into it. All you got to do is put out a fist. Separate from your body, like not making full frontal, you know, it's true for anybody, especially for my kid and dogs.
Do you do that in a fast way towards the dog?
Don't make sudden movements. You don't know that dog. And I bet it slows Matthew down. Everybody wants to touch the dogs. It probably slows things down.
But the dogs are cute.
It's like me trying to answer questions about my scooter. I appreciate it. And of course, if it's a kid, I'll stop and like, we'll hang out. A good tip for a kid when you're talking to a kid, unless the parent hates it, is stoop down, get to the kid's level. It's a nice way to talk to a kid. I'll get off my scooter. I'll stoop. I'll talk about the scooter. I'll compliment them on their bike, even if it's not that good of a bike. But so, I mean, I think, you know, the thing is, this is the San Francisco problem where you've got to have two dogs and one kid or two kids and one dog. If you've got two Weimaraners, if you've got two Afghan hounds, if you've got two, what's another like very interesting dog? Great Danes. If you're walking around in public with two Great Danes, you better be ready for people to have remarks and questions. Otherwise, you should not.
And opinions, many opinions.
Well, but like you shouldn't have got like it's so weird. Yes, that's right. I have face tattoos. Take a picture. Like why'd you get a shirt with the F word on it if you didn't want questions? One of my kids' new shirts is it's a picture of Garfield eating something and then a really long quote from Dune on it. it's about fear being the mind killer and it's such a strange shirt. Now my kid wears that shirt and like understands people are gonna have questions. Oh, you like Garfield? I don't know. I've never seen Garfield. You seen Dune? No, my dad tries to make me watch Dune all the time. I just think it's a funny shirt.
Hold on. Your offspring has your lady friend seen Dune? You have not forced Dune on your household?
What I've tried.
What's wrong
with
you? Oh my god.
Okay, here's the problem.
And you'll talk about a pussy hat.
Ugh. Huh? You'll appreciate this. A person my kid does not like not only has a huge crush on Timothy Chalamet, but is that particular person. About Timothy Chalamet, going on and on and on about Timothy Chalamet all the time.
Yeah.
And so you understand? I understand. Yeah. I don't like it, but I understand. But I'm like, on the other hand, OTOH, it's got Oscar Isaac, who we all love.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And it's got my TV, my movie girlfriend, Rebecca Ferguson.
Oh my God. I forgot. I need to watch it
again. I'd moisten her planet. I'd be her still suit. Any updates on what do I got here? We got to watch a lot of bullshit. It sounds like you've got like lots of, if you want to talk about it, you don't have to. If it's not interesting, just say so. We'll cut this out. It sounds like you're having continuing locational issues. Last week you had to deal with the various Dougies and apprentices who came to fix your turlet and yell at your turlet. Mm-hmm. And I thought I saw in the good Slack it must be on the internet that you're looking for a place because there's loud construction. Do you have your own bang bang machine situation going on now?
Oh no, I wish it was my own.
Didn't you have loud construction? Did I misread that?
No, yeah, we do, but it's not consistent. Like if it was a single bang bang machine mm-hmm. and could isolate that bangy bang noise, then it would be much better. But you know, I live in a diverse neighborhood, Merlin, and there are various types of banging. Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yes. This I value all bangs. But sometimes it's coming from like one side of the apartment and sometimes it's in another. And also I just want to work outside my house sometimes because I am a fancy duchess because of that, but I don't know. I bought expensive software that I don't know how to use to get rid of the bad mouth noises I make.
Fucking Jason Snell makes it sound like it's so easy.
Yeah.
Maybe it is easy. I don't know. I know that one of the uses, especially if you're CNN Plus and that particular person is for example, interviewing Ted Lasso, and then it has a sound all through it. You can remove like a frequency. Do you know how to do stuff like that? I know how to do sampling. You're talking about iZotope, yes?
Yes, and I
which is magic.
Know
it's a magic
how
app.
To well, yeah, and I know how to watch like an hour of videos and then dick around until I finally get it to do what I want. Usually, sometimes, hopefully, but I have yet to find a consistent workflow. Oh, and God, Jason Snell's too good at things. I broke my notes the shortcut that,
that
allows
guy.
Me to take yeah to do like quick little
podcast markers.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. See, oh, I'm so good at my jobs. But I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it is boring, I guess. I need a place to be.
No. I know how to do that upper right hand repair assistant thing. I find a place where there's talking or that has the problem that I want. It's important to find a good spot to click before you hit that. Otherwise, you just hear the silence at the beginning of a recording. And then it gives me three options, right? It says, here's the original. And I listen to it and it sounds like whatever it sounds like. And then it says, you can try number two. You mouse over and it says, this one has noise reduction and deep spitting and like all the different things. Sounds exactly the same to me. Ditto for the second, ditto for the third. But I know how to do that. But whenever I try to do anything on my own, it always ends up sounding like somebody's mumbling through a couch cushion.
Oh, and then somehow I always compress it more and I just don't know. I've been using Descript, which is a magical app that I adore, but I have a very costly microphone, or maybe it is expensive. I still don't always know the difference, but I love this microphone, especially live, but I don't know if it's better.
Was that, wait, why are we talking about iZotope? Why are we talking about that? Sorry, no, I'm not mad. I'm just lost.
I forgot. Disappointed. We were talking about how I'm in a spot where there's lots of banging. And
I see what
hard.
You're saying.
Yeah.
So if you're getting like, I mean, and this is probably not a good example, but if you've got something like line noise or something like, you know, like I'll make some changes and I'll discover that my mic cable is not only coiled, but is like next to a power brick or something. Like sometimes, so I've got this little pedal down here for muting, this little rat pedal. And like if I move that sometimes an inch or two, it causes or removes noise. And so if you had the same XYZ hertz noise, you could just zap that out. But if it's something that's going on a regular basis or bang, 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 maybe you could set the BPM. And that would help with the bang bangs.
There was RIP some office studio, but there were a bunch of issues with that like recording room just because there was a really, really high ceiling. Yeah, I mean, there are many
from the
issues.
Darkness, Max yells, maybe we should spend more money on it.
Yes. Oh, sorry, I came in under budget. But like there was a frequency of the rain, and then if there was a live show.
Oh, maybe it was a vibe shift.
But that's the thing. Hmm. There were vibes, but we had little templates for each vibe, and you would go in and be like, oh, this is when there was noise from the outside. Oh, that I was see. Rain. Oh, here's when some right. raccoons were scuffling on the roof. I don't think they were raccoons.
Well, the same way that you would pick the right size and type of screwdriver. Like you need these,
yes.
But I know that like if it's this kind of screw, I just get that and I take you in that same way. But what you've got here sounds far too chaotic to do with software.
Maybe not, but I just have a Phillips screw that I'm just sort of like banging on the microphone, being please work, please. And my pop filter's gone today. It just fell off. I'm a mess.
Maybe the cat did it.
My jobs. Is that a euphemism?
Sure. Well, I'm glad you can record. How's your toilet?
My toilet's fine. It is really.
Have you made a deuce in it yet?
I certainly hope so. Oh, that would have been a long time. I don't recall.
I didn't know if you're still going to McDonald's. You're a creature of habit.
Oh yeah,
and you love those Cokes.
True. Oh no, I love the Diet Cokes. I that's had a kind regular of Coke the other day. In Georgia, maybe.
Oh, I see. You're saying. Oh, you're saying the way we use words. Okay. But that's a good point. That's a really good point. I got some iced tea right here.
I've got I have a canned Diet Coke and a lime LaCroix here. Oh, unsatisfying noise. That wasn't satisfying. But I'm still not convinced that fizzy water is good for you. There's no way. It's just.
I think mineral water is not good for you. Doesn't that rot your teeth?
I have no idea.
Or something that makes your bones brittle? Hollow bones.
Well, I do fall a lot. I'm just making noises. You have so many things in this dock.
You see the question marks? It's because none of these are things we need to. There's nothing about the man in here, right? Good. Okay. Just checking to make sure you didn't add anything about you know who. So I've got boring stuff. Not the boring company. God damn it. That's plus one right there. Elon gets one hash. Okay.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it. You did it.
Well, and also I'm ahead on internet right now, 5-4.
That counts there. That counts. That counts.
No,
that counts.
It doesn't. That was MetaTalk.
It counts.
You think MetaTalk counts?
Fine.
I don't know. I'm going to close my iPad. Closing this. Sometimes, are you using universal control like a lot?
Yes, I love
it. Is this sometimes just like not see stuff for you? Like sometimes it doesn't see the thing that it saw before, even though nothing's changed. Do you ever get that?
No, actually. I guess maybe.
If I had one complaint, that's my only real complaint is that, and I know it's in beta, but like it's not a complaint because holy God, I'm telling you. So I got the main Mac in the middle. I got the iPad hanging over here that I use a lot. Like right now it's up with just one way to avoid sending things to the wrong text thread is I have just you in a new window on the iPad. It's like Apollo 13, like, you know, don't press this button. And then over here, I've got my laptop I can zoom over to and it's the best. But sometimes, okay, maybe it's just me. Never mind. I have a lot of paper cuts.
I think it's, I think I may have experienced that when it was like my laptop was asleep, but now that I have a monitor that works, it just, oh God, like if something were to not be working, I probably wouldn't notice because I'm just so used to the quote fineness of everything, even though I didn't have the ultra fine because that monitor just sucked. But I have yet to have any paper cuts because I still have calluses from anything. So I was unstuck in time.
We have other things. My bike is being assembled right now. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I talked to him. Last week, I guess 2 weeks ago, I asked for advice about e-bikes, and some people were very, and it was Brooke. That's the person whose name I was spacing on, right? Anyway, and Andre, lots of people, not lots, but nice handful of people sent me some very specific bike advices. And I ordered one last week, and it arrived at, and I'm not going to assemble myself. So Rad Power is the brand that I got. And on each page for each bike type, they have this cool little like horizontal meter of like, do you want to put this together yourself? And of course, I don't want to put anything together. I mean, I couldn't get my chain back on my bike when I was a child. I'm certainly not going to try and install a Shimano derailleur. Hey, that's no good, boss. Shimano derailleur. That sounds kind of dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll totally give this chick a Shimano derailleur. Seven gears clicking. Regenerative brakes.
I hate it. No.
You don't like that? You don't like that? You like those at maximum 750 watts power delivery? That's not as good. Okay, so, and I called the man yesterday because I got the FedEx site. I fought the FedEx site to where I saw it had been delivered. And I called the bike man, and he says it might be ready Friday or maybe even tomorrow, Thursday.
Oh, so you...
He's a sim. Oh, sorry. So the thermometer, this horizontal thermometer on each skew of the bike is like all the way over here. Like, yeah, you could totally do this all the way over there. You seriously don't want to do it. And of all the bikes I was looking at, this is the one that was like 60%. You really don't want to do this. And I thought, like, I'll pay a little bit extra to have somebody who understands how to do this take care of it. But I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
Have you tried any at all yet? Or is this going to your... Oh, you have. Oh, that's
just
right.
A little
we talked
bit.
About this. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. But I... Well, you know what's interesting, though? I mean, I know on the one hand, it seems nuts to, like... not ride an actual e-bike hardly at all ever, do 2 weeks of research and buy one sight unseen. But I do, this is going to sound really weird, but as a personal transportation veteran, I have a pretty good idea about some kinds of things about personal transport. Like, I don't understand a lot about how a, you know, battery-powered vehicle works, but you know, it was... Based on my research, this is definitely the right one. And I got the kind of, when I was a kid, if you're a boy, you would never ride what we called a girl's bike. This is called step through.
No.
You don't have to throw your leg over. It's basically a girl's bike is what we call it. And I'm so excited because I don't want to be swinging my leg. Who am I trying to impress?
I just think it's funny that, you know, the girl bikes have those. And I get it's like, oh, yes, because
you're wearing a dress.
Something. Yeah, but like there's no tallywhacker typically, like, you know, not to be normative. But
right.
Most...
Oh, well, a lesbian needs an e-bike like a fish needs a step through. What was that T-shirt? You remember that T-shirt?
No.
A lesbian needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle, something like that.
If
you wear that shirt, people are going to ask you questions, especially if you're walking two Great Danes on e-bikes. This model's not very good for people over 6 feet tall. I'm good. I'm a little guy. Little guy, little bike.
You are, I think, you keep saying, well, I wish I was taller, but you...
Well, no, that's a joke, Alex.
I know it's, no, I know it's a good...
This relates to our challenge, which, by the way, is the best challenge we have ever done. And it relates to that because it involves things over which I have no control. So when people say things to me like, well, I'd like to blah, blah, blah. And then I say, well, I'd like to be tall. It's not, I don't actually care about my height. I like explaining my jokes. And in this case, what I'm explaining to you is it's my way of saying, it's sort of like another one of my quotes. Why didn't I do something? Why am I not a potted fern? In each instance, I'm trying to show you that something is an impossibility. I thought you liked OmniFocus.
Well, I'm doing the thing that you love where I'm clarifying an unimportant part of what you, the story you're saying.
It's just like being at home.
So
actually, it was Melissa.
Oh, dead naming problematic. Oh,
who did I dead name? What? Melissa?
You
mean the cow from Bob's Burgers?
Melissa. I love Melissa.
If Paul F. Tompkins is so goddamn funny. Is not Rudy. Rudy's the kid. Remember he brings Melissa the cow.
Yeah.
But then he's also the guy with the painted van who's going to shoot the Sandy Can-Can Fry video.
And he, well, yeah, and isn't he, wait, is that the same character? Because he also has the food truck, Randy, right?
Randy.
Yes, yeah. Randy. Gosh,
AKA Mr. Peanut Butter.
Oh, man. I've never heard a bad thing about Paul F. Tompkins, and I refuse to listen if anybody.
Oh, good. Well, Roderick's got some things to say on the program.
Oh, God.
Madison Cawthorn, good for you. What is Crate? And then we should talk about the challenge. This doesn't need to be 2 hours long. What's you sent me, you were holding, you sent me a photo. Sometimes you go on a jag a little bit. Oh, by the way, your texts have gotten shorter again, which is nice. You seem to be stabilized. But you sent me a photograph of not a tureen, not a drum, the largest can I've ever seen of drink. And it said on it, Kratom seltzer.
Kratom. Yeah.
Is this your new beverage of choice?
No, because it is a little bit, okay, it is a beverage of choice for a certain time, but it's a nice drink that I found was, like, relieved anxiety, but it didn't get me drunk. Like, I'm not a big...
It doesn't come in a smaller size, huh?
I don't know, actually. It's really
okay, I'm
going to
click on the actual photo. This is what this can says, and the can is a very hipster type design.
Yeah.
Oh, small hands, big heart. Korthals Collection, number 539. I love the number character. Number 539, Kratom Seltzer Lemon Tea Full Spectrum, 75 milligram. Mitragynine alkaloid is best for focus, energy, mood, 16 ounce. Oh, it's not that big.
No, I just have weird ass hands. They're like fat but short. Like they, I need a tall and wide.
Oh, big and tall.
Yes, yes. I want that for like short and squat for hands. Like that's I want a phone for that.
Well, this is me and my rise all over again. I mean, people look say to me, don't talk about people who have skin. Or are bipedal. But I say, what about my rise? Do you realize what I struggle with? The area from where the legs come together on the pant to my taint is never the right length. And I'm not going to pull them up. I mean, I'm not going to be chafed because of this.
No.
I should get a tag, probably like a... I could park my bike anywhere.
Like, I'm chafed.
No, I...
Person of
I have a foreshortened taint. Is this stuff yummy? Is it yummy? It gives you energy?
Yeah, it's not yummy, but I don't think anything's yummy. It does not taste...
Do you like the taste of Red Bull and... Rocket Man and all those. Do you like those?
No, I hate it, but I love how it makes me feel because, you know, stimulants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got into those when I was doing that, working with that place downtown for a while. I would get, what's the one I'm thinking of? You got Rockstar, that's the one, right?
That's my mom's favorite beverage.
I was drinking.
She's 60 years old. Good God.
Good for her. Wow. Must be nice.
I am saying it is interesting that a 60-year-old consumes about 3 gamer drinks a day. And I'm like, listen, Mom.
Does it make them better at the game?
Huh. You know what? I don't know.
I mean, obviously, if you get the right chair, if you've done a full-on Brian David Gilbert like environment for playing your game. You got your suit to get your nutrients. That's such a funny video. We'll find it for notes. Brian David Gilbert.
I like him.
I'm a fan and a supporter. But so she'll do that. But I would get like a Rockstar, and then I tried to get a sugar free Rockstar, and it's like, ugh.
Truly disgusting.
It's like getting an eye exam while you're getting a prostate exam. It's like, ugh, too much bad taste, but it would make me insane, Alex. It would make me crazy.
I will say that when I get when you get those longer texts, I mean, I've probably had a longer drink. Let's say
interesting
the energy variety. Yep. And this Kratom drink, you know, Merlin, we don't get enough credit for not shilling things on this show.
We leave so much money on the table. By which I mean powder money.
Yes. Yes. Oh God, I didn't realize, because I am a fancy Duchess and support a lot of podcasts that don't have ads, and or rather get shows that don't have ads. But every once in a while, someone will send me an episode of something, like, and I start listening, and then I'm like, wait, what? You're selling me Kratom? Wait, you're selling me, like, Noom is now a thing? Also, vitamins? I listened to a podcast about scams that I actually enjoy, and it's not gross. And they sell vitamins in the middle, and it drives me a little bonkers. But, go to patreon.com/dubaifriday.
Please.
And I won't talk about Kratom for money. Yeah. Don't
I see what you're saying. You're saying, no time to argue, throw me the head, I throw you the whip. You're like saying, here's a bargain, we're not so different, you and I will not shill food-based vitamins, liquid cocaine, laxative hats, anything like that, even though that's where the money is.
Mm-hmm. We've never advertised Blue Chew. There's so many boner
Blue
pills.
Chew. What's Blue Chew?
Oh, Merlin. Oh, I don't listen to podcasts. Oh my God. Hold on. It is, I am at bluechew.com.
Blue Chew.
Sex with chewable tablets right for you. Discuss slidenafil and
it's for your boner
options.
Comes with a free
it's not
Apple
just boner
Watch.
Pills. Yeah,
it's sex with chewable tablets right for you. Oh, look at this. Blue Chew, made in USA.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And up to 40% of Americans agree. Up to 40%.
And this gives you they call it ED now. But these are boner chews?
Yeah. And you, much like ADD vitamins, you don't need to visit
so
a doctor.
I am so ED.
I am so ED.
But if you want to keep us pure and you don't want us to ruin pop with weird taste, as Finn Merton says, you're ruining that pop with weird taste. You ever see Card Wars? You ever seen that episode? Remember, you have to figure. Yeah, whoever loses, you find out who's the cool guy, you know. And then you gotta drink the ham water.
Remember that pop
with weird taste.
I don't like.
But keep
drinks.
Us pure. You gotta give us your fucking money.com. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. You like drinks. You're not above trying to drink. What makes you try a new drink?
Promises that it will make me feel better.
But it's not like an impulse buy at the Shell station or something? You do your research?
Oh, I've definitely done that. Like, mm-hmm. Podcasts have told me over and over again to not buy CBD oil from a gas station, but I've never been to a gas station that has CBD oil, so I don't, but you know.
You're giving me a Syracuse criticism here. You're saying I don't understand the bit well enough to make fun of it, is that what you're saying? That they don't actually sell CBD? I thought they sold CBD in gas stations.
No, I truly, I believe it, but I just, who goes into a gas station? I don't.
Tired people.
Stressed people. I was going to say, the first time I tried 5-Hour Energy, it was on an impulse at a gas station, and I was 16 because my parents expressly forbid it, and I wanted to stay up all night and listen to music, and I did. Yeah. LimeWire. It was a hell of a thing. LimeWire and 5-Hour Energy.
I'm not okay.
Yeah. Trust me.
Trust me.
But I
like when he kisses him. I like that part.
Oh, gosh. I love them so much. They're coming back.
That's a really good song.
But the Kratom drink was actually because I was picking up CBD treats for a dog.
CBD, and is that for one of the broken dogs?
Yeah, no, it's for my dog-in-law.
That's so weird, because in college, the cliches about being a dingling in college is, let's get the dog high. In this case, you're saying the nice thing about the CBD, you can get the flight, try them out on your dog, see how it goes.
I mean, I'm sure that's a thing, but
but it
CBD
works.
Kratom in Chicago. Oh yeah, like there.
But you have good results with cat relaxer too. Didn't you have good cat relaxer? What's it called, fentanyl? That stuff you put in a little incense burner in your wall.
We do not give our cat fentanyl. fentanyl.
Well, you don't know it's fentanyl. That's the problem right now. Is a lot of times it's a, they call it a mix-in. It's like a stone cold creamery for cat disease.
Occasionally, I mean, we've done a separation anxiety training, so not as much. But yes, with our cat Francis.
Oh, okay, that's nice. Just,
yeah. Oh no, it's me. I am so
borderline personality disorder.
Challenge.
This week the challenge is mine, and it's the best challenge we've ever had.
Go on.
It makes me really happy. The challenge, as discussed on the after show last week, you can listen to the after show if you're one of our beloved patrons, patreon.com/dobyfriday. We really could use the money. And but the challenge is mine. And may I just do this real quick to give background?
Please do. Yes.
I say it's quick, but it's the speaking that'll be quick. It won't be useful.
Well, I mean, if you have Blue Chew, can go on for
Blue
a while.
Blue Chew! Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I don't have an orthopedic desk. I'd probably have to sit in some kind of sex sling to record. Hi, I'm Bobby Blue Chew. You ever been sitting in a sex swing doing your podcast about ableism clowns? Hi, Blue Chew!
Dig Doug Merlin, this week's challenge was yours. Tell us about it.
Hmm. It's kind of weird. Are you trying to save me?
No, I'm trying. Okay. Oh, boy.
So, challenge this week, Blue Chew, and I'm playing with a knife. Challenge this week was to say thank you to no one in particular. The genesis of this was, as I mentioned last week, a thing I discovered myself doing that at first saying it to somebody feels strange, you know, sort of like one of those secret weird things people do kind of things where like, I feel like you're the first person I ever mentioned this to ever. And so it seems weird, but what I discovered was, I wrote six lines on this somewhere. I found myself from time to time, something happens in the world. And I find myself, not constantly, but like 1 to 5 times a day, I find myself saying thank you to no one in particular. And it's what I realized was that like, it's okay, how about this? Here's another one, another version of that is yes. Like say like you got your bingo card filled, like you got your bingo or like you win the lottery or like when something turns out well. The way I wrote it down here is whenever things over which I have little or no control turned out better than I could have hoped or expected, those are the in the big superclass of this, the kinds of things that make me say, thank you. And like I keep mentioning this no one in particular part, I'm not thanking myself. I'm not thanking God. I'm just expressing heartfelt happiness and gratitude. Generally, most often, when something went better than I expected. And what I discovered, I mean, I don't know if you can really call it a benefit. I would, but if you haven't tried this, classic example, like I said last week, this does not have to be up in the cloud stuff. You confidently grab your USB plug and you plug it into the port and you got it right on the first try, right? And I go, thank you. That's not going to change the world. But that went better than I expected. Like my odds on anything are generally way less than 50%. So something like that happens. Or like I also said, like you throw a paper towel and it lands in the garbage can on the first try. But basically when like it could be like something you were really hoping for happens, or it could be when something you really hope doesn't happen. But it's just this little private moment of gratitude. That in terms of benefit, like I instantly feel kind of good when I do it. And then the pitch that I made last week, and I if you need a reason to do this, I mean, it's like meditation. If you get into it for Satori, like it's probably the wrong idea. Learning to live with what a piece of shit you are is what meditation really is. And like, if you think you're going to get something else out of it and develop a halo, there's probably easier ways. Go to the costume store or whatever. But what I feel like I've discovered after however long that I've been unconsciously mostly doing this is that it's become a habit. You know, there's so many things that become a bad habit because you start doing something that's maybe not so great, and then you realize you've been doing it more than you realized, and it's not so great. This is a kind
so
of...
it, was it already a habit before this challenge, you mean?
I think so, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no, I know so. But what that does is, if you need a reason to find this interesting, is that I find when things go better than I expected or hoped, I find myself saying thank you. I instantly feel like a little lightness and like, hey, I just got one. But once it develops into a habit, if it does, now guess what? You start realizing how often things went a little better than you expected. So I don't need optimism. I have gratitude.
Oh, fuck. That's good. That's very good.
I didn't write that down, but it's very good. It's really fucking good. Yeah. And so that was the challenge. Was this something you tried?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I did it multiple times a day, and bits gone. I do think this is one of the best challenges we've had, and it was reminiscent, but not as similar as I expected to the Look at the Chimneys challenge, which
totally
is something that genuinely, Merlin, what does looking at the chimneys do?
Well, I've never done the scholarship I haven't looked at PubMed to see if there's studies about this, but I forget who. If you know who it is, tell me. But somebody, I'd heard it said that when you're out and you're walking around, in my case, I'm walking down the sidewalk, that you should look for the chimneys. Now, what does that mean? Well, the literal meaning of it is, as you're walking down the street, you hold your head at an angle to look up as if looking to the sky. Well, guess what? First time you do that, you're going to realize how seldom you do that. Because my first thought is, wow, there's way more wires up there than I expected. Like, I didn't realize how not that often I look up. And now at night, I'm virtually obsessed with this. I go out and I always try to find Orion. It's my favorite constellation. Mm. And, but the looking up, so you look up and you start looking for chimneys. Well, they're not that hard to find. There's either chimneys or there's not. You know what a chimney looks like. You probably drew them sideways till the age of six, if you're like me. But is there the nominal, theoretical, physiological part of that? There's all these little like hacks that go somewhere from like magical thinking and homeopathy, like all the way down, or like, what's the one? Acupressure. There's all that kind of stuff. All the way down to like the Valsalva maneuver. Which is a thing.
I have no idea what that is.
Well, a maneuver is a physical thing you do on a body.
Oh, God.
Well, no. I was just going to say my father, my late father's surgeon, was a guy named Henry Heimlich, and he invented a maneuver.
Oh, that's very cool.
My father's doctor was the guy who invented the Heimlich maneuver.
Holy fuck. Yep. Wow.
Yep.
So cool.
Brady's bits. Valsalva's maneuver, and I might be getting that wrong. You ever do this? You ever, like, you're feeling congested or you're, like, you've been on a plane?
You hold your nose and then you
push, like, not through your mouth, but through your nose. You, like, push air down through your nose and then, like, don't do it too hard or it can, like, kind of hurt.
Oh, yep, it really hurts.
But Valsalva's maneuver, like, so it feels like you're popping a bubble sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. If you've got that ear pressure after a flight, that can help. But, you know, there's this whole continuum of, like I say, magical thinking all the way down to, like, you know, through life hacks all the way into literal ways to save somebody's life by getting food out of their esophagus. But, like, I think the idea behind this is when you're looking for the chimneys, first of all, you are looking up. And if you're like me, I hope you're not, you will realize how often you don't look up full stop. Like, I guess I tend, maybe because sometimes I'm on a scooter, sometimes whatever, but I'm looking down a lot of the time, you know, trying to find a good piece of metal to add to my street metal collection, you know, stuff like that. But you look up, but then what else happens? The sun, if there's sun out, like the sun with the eyes and looking up. I can't prove that there's a physiological benefit to looking at the chimneys, but I feel like, and now I'm getting into woo-woo here, I've driven over the Red Bridge, the International Orange Bridge, and I'm now officially in Marin County with this observation, is that I think if you go kind of, go like, take a breath and look up and look for the chimneys, it makes it not hugely, it's not going to make chronic problems going away. But I kind of instantly feel a little bit better, personally. Mm-hmm. It elevates, to put it another way, it elevates my mood just a little bit.
When you first brought this challenge, like, years and years ago, I thought I would be like, yay, I'm not looking at my phone, which does happen.
Sure. It's related, but that's secondary or tertiary,
right?
Focusing of attention on something. I mean, I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is, like, I'm not trying to say, don't look at your phone, boo. I'm saying that, like, making a decision, not a decision, I'm not going to look at my phone. Oh, fuck that. Who cares? But what I am saying is that being mindful about choosing to focus your attention on something, here's one. It's not going to work for anybody who's listening, but if you have friends, tell them about it, okay? Because you have real problems, everybody who's listening. But you ever have just a little quick moment of repose? It's kind of along the lines of, I'm just a guy in a room. Like, right now, you go like, you know what? I'm not on fire. No one is eating me. I've made it. What's Elaine Stritch say? I've made it through all last year and I'm here. Like, I'm here. I'm alive. Just in this moment. It sounds so corny, but, like, I hope at least once a year you get a moment where you go, oh my God, I'm not dying right now. You know, the other night during this challenge period, you know what it was? I can tell you, it was yesterday. It was Tuesday morning, where, of course, I wake up, and because I'm the dad, I walk around and I announce, it's Tuesday. Today is the optimistic day. And everyone's like, robble, robble. You know what's wild, though? I had a good night's sleep. My wife had a good night's sleep. My kid had a good night's sleep. And just for reasons, we let our kid take a personal day. And everybody was in a pretty good mood. Everybody had food. And I said, thank you. Because not every day everybody sleeps well. Not every day everybody is in an okay, good mood. And it's along those lines of those things that when you get old, and, like, I look back now and I think about certain Christmas mornings where I thought, man, I didn't do a very good job of Christmas morning there. And now I treasure every single one of those as this, like, little diamond moment, flashbulb diamond moment. And I get a wonderful combination of happy and sad and warm and hopeful and human. And I'm glad to be old enough or dad enough to have that. And as somebody who is ADHD, and somebody who has all kinds of stuff going on with anxiety, I'm so grateful for every moment where I'm not picking corn out of my own shit. And I just go, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, can you think of any times that you can share that you find yourself doing this?
I realize that I almost always do this when I'm, you know, doing your least favorite activity, which is playing games, and just being like, oh, thank you. Like, my daily Pokemon Go battles. I'm like,
no,
oh.
Alex, it's okay for this to be the most mundane thing in the world.
Right.
And just to be clear, I don't think this, if you, the listener, want to try this, you'll find your own way to do this. You're a grown-ass person nominally. One thing I am saying is, like, if you find this being something where you go, thank you, that's okay. For me personally, this is not a tip. This is an observation. For me, it's more like, you hear the way I'm saying it? Thank you. Like it's not the thank you of, I'm glad you agree with my political view, or, like, you let me speak to your manager. It's a much more, it's a gentle, affirmative thank you of, like, I'm moving through life and it's going okay. And I want to take a minute, you know, maybe not constantly. I don't want to become mental about it, but to be comfortable in my own skin. I find it has a nice subtle effect throughout the day, maybe like a Kratom drink, but it also has a cumulative effect of making me realize how goddamn lucky I am.
It, I think, also at the end of the day was affected me in a really positive way, in that I, even if I was not looking forward to something at night, like just having to fold laundry or just, you know, the mundane crap. Like, when I got a book delivered, and it's a hardback book, hardcover, whatever, and it's really easy to hold and open. And I normally like ebooks, and I was like, oh, thank you, because it's nice to sit and read.
I totally agree. My friend Tony, who, well, let's see, I guess technically he's He's like the reverse John the Baptist of Sausage Night. It's his mother's recipe for Sausage Night that became Sausage Night. My friend Tony that I used to live with. Tony would sometimes, and he would talk about this, he would sometimes make this noise. He would just go, ah, you know, which I think is his version of, to paraphrase Kurt Vonnegut, if this isn't nice, I don't know what is. You know, in his famous, in one of his very famous, wonderful talks for Kurt Vonnegut, I think it's the one, well, he did it lots of times, but a time that became famous is he started doing this series of lectures where he would explain stories. And he would explain how stories work by drawing a graph on a board. They're very, very amusing talks and really do make you think. But then he ends it by talking about, you know, the moments in life that go by. And some, so I think it was some member of his family who used to say, if this isn't nice, I don't know what is. And he's, you know, basically encouraging the audience, like from time to time, say to yourself, if this isn't nice, I don't know what is. There's that. There's thank you. There's Tony Belante's. Ah, like those kinds of things are, I mean, I think it's a nice thing to do as a human being. You know, how lucky we are to be alive right now, to quote the Schuyler sisters. Just take that minute. And it sounds corny, but like the more corny it sounds, the more you probably need it.
Yeah, the more you cringe, if you're cringing, I just would question why you're cringing about it.
I totally understand. I, near the top of this podcast, I was going hammer and tongs on this really annoying Twitter account that posts all this positive bullshit that they have stolen from other people without attribution. It's nice to feel nice. Again, to quote Bob's Burgers for the third. Oh, that's three for me, BB. Mm. I think that's three Bob's Burgers. I was in a lot of commercials today. we say that all the time at our house. he went over because, you know, because Jimmy Pesto has those appetizers he likes. But those little moments, I don't know. I'm not even sure what I'm saying. I'm saying Melissa. Give her a break.
You're saying that you have found that little moments of gratitude are sometimes more fulfilling when it is maybe not a solitary moment, but a private moment where versus Twitter.
Yeah, I was listening to, I was cleaning up and fixing to go home. Oh, by the way, the bin situation here is wild. I'm using three different kinds of racks at this point. Oh. I got freestanding racks and mounted screwed in. But anyway, I was fixing to go home, putting stuff away and dealing with my racks and doing my dishes and vacuuming the floor and all the little, because I am OCD. I like to really do that before I go home. But I was listening to Joe Walsh, like I do sometimes. And the Joe Walsh Spotify, really good top songs. You know, you get Rocky Mountain Way. You get, you know, of course, you get In the City. You get Life's Been Good. All those. But there's a song of his I'd never heard that's got to be fairly recent. And I mean, I don't have like a story in front of me about this, but, you know, he's famously done a lot of drugs and especially a lot of drinking over the years. And he had this song that was obviously about recovery called One Day at a Time and about his gratitude for finding something bigger than him. And it's funny. It's like, you know, it's a funny song because it's Joe Walsh. He's fucking great. Joe Walsh, you look it up. He's amazing. And but you know, his whole career, he's had these kind of like really sort of dark songs. Like Life's Been Good is a song about, you know, being, you know, my Maserati does 185. I lost my driver license and now I can't drive. You know, I got me a mansion, gold records on the wall. It was the one where like he's got the mansion he's never been to, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. His accountants pay for it all. Pretty dark. And like it was just this like complete, it sounded like, when I say an old guy, I don't mean in style because he still sounds great, still plays guitar great, but it's a certain kind of like, hey, I'm done, you know, fucking around with whatever image you've got of me. Like I am unbelievably, so many of my friends have died. I'm glad to be alive. I'm, you know, I'm taking life one day at a time. And I was just thinking, like, if I had heard that song around, you know, 1981, 82, I would have been like, you know, that, because that would have felt like practically Randy Newman level of distance from the singer. You know, Randy Newman used to get a lot of jazz for stuff like Short People or In America, you know, this kind of song about the, you know, the slave ships and stuff. And it's like, yeah, but that's Randy Newman's deal, is he has so much distance from these terrible, terrible characters. That's not actually, he's not singing that as Randy Newman, FYI. But Joe Walsh always sings his songs as Joe Walsh, I think, mostly. I mean, even Life's Been Good certainly has some elements of his life. He played on fucking Hotel California. Probably had some dough and blew it and did dumb stuff. But I was listening to that and I was like, good for you, Joe Walsh. Good for you, man. Taking life one day at a time. To get to that age, be able to put all that behind you, right at the age, and we'll talk about this someday. But I'm very interested in the mechanism that causes us to become so hardened as we get older. My pet theory is it's the fear that you're losing your independence and security. And so you kind of varnish over a lot of your shortcomings with like strong insistence. And like, you know, I'm going to prove to you that you can't put me in a home because I'm so strong-willed, which of course just looks pathetic most of the time. And instead, he's a guy in his, what, probably 70s going like, I'm taking life one day at a time. And it's like, if Joe Walsh can do it, guys, you can too. Not that I'm saying you should drink all you want, but whatever, do your thing. You be you. But taking that moment to be a vulnerable version of yourself, there's worse things you can do to sort of moisturize your calloused, aging soul than to just stop for a fucking minute and go, if this isn't nice, I don't know what it is.